No, I don't disassociate because there's like, you know, there's a gift in, you know, in all people, right? Like, so there's not like, I'm not rejective of like that side. I just have chosen to understand it, understand the mentalities, and be able to be utilize that understanding as a gift to the like the people that I identify with.
You're listening to the Mixed Gen Podcast. In today's episode, we hear from Benzel Jimerson.
The Mixed Gen Podcast, because the world is mixing. Welcome everyone to the Mixed Gen Podcast. We're here today with Benzel. What's your last name?
Jimerson.
Jimerson. Okay. Right. I always want to add another letter in the
because my birth given name, actually my first is like I kept it, so it's Colin Benzel Jimerson. So a lot of times like when people see my name, it's C Benzel.
Oh. Jimerson. I don't think really that's letter. Why.
That's not why?
No, like I actually want to add like Jimmer and then like add a letter in there. I don't know why.
To make it real black?
No.
Is that what you're trying to say? No. Like, you know, like it got to be a weird spelling or something like that.
That's actually not what I'm saying at all. Actually, I have this thing. Sometimes I read words and I add letters in them. So it's actually not because I want your name to sound different or more black. But great start off to the podcast. Let's just, you know.
And also to know that we've done our research, obviously, right?
Like we really have.
You Googled me. You Googled me before I got here, huh?
We've really done a good job. No, we actually just saw Benzel and we're like, hey, you mix. And he just came in today. I'm just kidding.
Which is perfect. I think that's a great way to do it, right? Like, you know.
No, but real talk, I actually have seen Benzel at different community events. That I think it was like DPS, Denver Public Schools, for those that don't know DPS acronym. And then, yeah, we just reconnected. And I was telling him about some of the stuff that I was doing around being mixed, and he said he could relate. But I actually don't know what and why you could relate to what I was saying because we didn't dig deeper. But I was like, you should come on the podcast. I just felt like it was right. And so can you tell us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Yeah, for sure.
What are you? I'm just kidding.
I still am trying to figure that out, actually. That's been a lot of the fun of life. But I was actually born to an Irish and German mother, and then my father is mostly black. Obviously, we don't know where our actual heritage is from, and that's going to be something interesting for me at some point in life. But he is a black man, and we have a little bit of Native American. Like my grandmother is a 16th Blackfoot, so. You know, I've got
on your dad's side or
on my father's
mom?
Side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like background in that way.
I was just kidding about the "what you are" question for people. Like, don't ask mixed people "what are you." It's generally not going to turn out. It's just a triggering. Good.
That question sucks. Like,
yeah,
it does. Yeah, because I'm like, I'm me. Like, I'm Benzel. You know?
I know,
like that's how I've always. You know, that's how I've always. Out of it at least.
Did you get that question a lot? Like, what are you in your life, childhood to now?
You know, like that's, I guess why. So today I, you know, I identify as an African born in America. And, you know, or a black man is for a more simple term, I guess. And I do really...
You identify as an African born in America.
An African born in America.
But not African American.
I don't really
you
like that.
You specifically said African born in America.
Yeah, because we're so much more connected, I think, than at least through DNA, through spirituality, through, you know, what I grew up studying and learning and then being able to like actually connect to the actual continent when I went out to Uganda. So yeah, I don't like African American. I don't I'm not like a crayon, so I really don't like black man, but it's like a more
You're
simple,
not a what you said?
I'm not a crayon.
Oh, crayon. Yeah. Okay, like what you draw with.
Or,
oh, yeah,
you
got
know,
it.
Something like that. So, you know, I'm not actually, but I don't know anybody who's actually black. You know, so I think that that's a, you know, a social construct in terms of a term. And so I really don't like that either. But for simplicity, oftentimes I will just kind of use it because people understand what it means.
Right.
And, you know, if I don't feel like having a whole conversation about like what it means to be an African born in America,
you'll just say, like, generally, when you don't want to go into those conversations, what do you say?
Like, I'm a black man, you know. And the reason that I identify that way is really just through, like, my mom raised me, knew that, like, I grew up in a single, you know, in a single parent household. I grew up with my sister who had a different father, who I call Pops. So like we're very connected. So that's kind of the distinction. Like one is my father is my biological and my Pops is my sister's. So I have a relationship with two men, but I grew up with none, right, in the household. And then my father has like another 8 kids. So, you know, I have 9 siblings altogether. Yeah, but for me,
where are you in the children? Like,
I'm
are
the
you
oldest boy? I have both boy. Of like I have one sister on my father's side and one my sister on my mother's side are both older than me.
Okay,
but I'm the oldest boy. And there's only 2 boys actually, so it's a lot of sisters. Mm. It's really interesting, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you have a big family.
Are you siblings mixed as well? What's the official makeup?
Some of them. So my two sisters who are older than me are. All the rest are pretty African born in America.
Okay.
African born in America. Yeah. Do they identify as that? African born in America?
They're black.
But you call them African born in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not going to, like, we don't have to get too deep into the terminology, but I do think it's interesting how people come to their terms, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that, because you said that you didn't want it to be, or it's too dividing in a way. Wait, what term is dividing? But isn't it, like,
well,
when you
no,
say
like
African?
The term black is, like, a social construct, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not crayons. Like, and that is
right, like, race
to,
itself
like,
is a social construct in general.
Right.
Well, in general, no doubt. But,
or
like,
is,
when we think about, like, white, black, brown, you know what I mean? Like, those are colors. They're not human.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? And it doesn't attach you to anything other than, like, you know, white maybe is okay. Well, you have lighter skin, but actually you're pink or red, you know what I mean? Most of the time, they're not even white. So, but you know, white is associated to good and, you know, black.
So but do you call white people
like
white
or
do you call white people? I'm just kidding. Now I'm just curious. What do you call it? Like, they're like descendants of the Caucasus Mountains.
Yeah, I really
with
don't
a potential.
Do that. Caucasian. I mean, it depends on like the.
I'm like if you're not gonna say black, it's African.
I know.
Born
isn't
in America.
That weird?
I know. I mean, it's okay because I think
I call white people white. I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is.
But so they crowns though.
Or European.
They crowns.
Yeah. Or European.
Or
erasers. Like
actually, my son the other day, erasers. He literally was like using white, and he was like, white is a race. And I was like, what? White is a race? I was like, have I taught him that white people are a race? I thought he was saying R-A-C-E.
Oh,
and then he was saying erase. And I was just like sitting there from, anyways.
I used to use the white crayon to like cover up. If I made a mistake, I would use the white crayon to. Like,
right.
Oh,
right,
dope.
I'm sorry.
I never even thought about that.
Damn. I got us off topic. Yeah. That was my fault. let's go back.
Yeah,
that was my fault.
So I'm interested in this as I consider myself a black male who's mixed. My mom's white. She's Irish and English. So yeah, and it's really interesting. I mean, where you were raised by your white mother, and my white mother, you know, raised me in as a Mormon, And it kind of, it changed like all these dynamics and everything.
But yeah, that's a whole extra layer for sure.
And my father was there and he was like giving me the, you know, teaching me to be a black man. And it's just, it was really confusing. But we never had conversations about me being mixed. I'm interested to know when you started to, when you realized that you were like different, like being a black male, but then like, did you ever have moments like I had when I was in the black community and they like knew I was mixed and I was treated differently? You ever had experiences that?
Nah, you got dreads, man. Look, my hair. yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It a lot of different levels, and so like this is like really the only monologue because I'm really actually curious to hear about like your experience as well.
Mm-hmm. He already had a podcast episode talking about it. You can tell him a little bit though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, like so for me, you know, at the end of the day, this is where this is the reason, and I will get back to your specific question, but. You know, I have never walked out into America and been seen as a white man, right? Mm-hmm. That's just what it
That's
is.
That's what I thought when you... I'm just kidding.
and so because I've never, like, been identified as such, like, nor have I enjoyed any of those, like, you know, the privileges, I guess, that come alongside of that, my experience has been as a black man, right? And as a black male. And I'm almost there in mm-hmm. terms of like how I arrived, like how I arrived here. So the really the second piece of that one, I've never been identified as like a white man. And then the second piece is really like, you know, who needs me more, right? Mm. And I do have, you know, a very clear understanding. I don't reject in any way like my white side. You know, my grandfather, I actually greatly respect, but I also, you know, understand like the history of, you know, my mother's side of the family.
Which is what?
They're pretty conservative, wealthy, conservative. I mean, and so, you know, for example, like we have a cabin up in Middle Park here in Colorado. And
nice.
And I popped up there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm like, shout out, let's take Minx Jen to the mountains. But
for real, except for I can't get in. You know, so
what, how, why not?
Because I'm not like, I don't match the value system of that family.
Mm. So, oh, you can't get in as in like you don't resonate with them.
I can't call and be like, hey, can I go to the cabin? You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, I don't get that. Like, I'm
did that of, happen over the years or
yeah,
is
for
that
sure.
Okay? Because sure. When you're younger, how was it when you're younger? Did they like love you? Is it more so that you don't want to associate with that? Or
yeah, no, I've always been like loved. I mean, they took me on, you know, summer vacations. I mean, I've been like whitewater rafting and what do you call it?
Water
like,
skiing?
No, like I feel like water surfing, like windsurfing.
Windsurfing. Oh yeah,
right. Yeah. Like cool. I did a bunch of windsurfing up in like, you know, New York State. Mm. So I mean,
with
like
your mom's side of the family specifically, because they had access to certain things, probably because of different wealth.
And like really, they it wasn't until I was 13, and when I was 13, you know, I had kind of given up because I grew up like a cowboy as well, right? So they're also a ranching family. Well, you know, her direct, like her father and so my grandmother and grandfather were both were ranchers. And so like that side turned into like the cowboy branch. Like her other family is like professors and lawyers and doctors, right? Wow.
All within the mom's side. So you have like cowboys and then you have doctors, lawyers, access to education, stuff like that.
Yeah. Interesting. Very much so. Like professors, like my great aunt is a professor at Cornell for years. And, wow. And so, you know, like I had all that exposure and I really got to like understand really well growing up. And then, you know, but my mom always kept in my hands like books of, you know, so I, at 7 and 8 years old, I was reading like the autobiographies of Frederick Douglass and Benjamin Banneker and Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So she knew that she couldn't raise like a black man. And so she just kind of.
But your mom was actually giving you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Books. Yeah, yeah. She was aware.
Yeah. She was, I mean, aware to that extent for certain. But like when it comes to like values and like the value of hip hop culture, which I like grew up in, once we left, you know, we went to California, And so I left like the cowboy world, and I saw like athletes and people with their pants hanging down.
Where in California were you?
In Indio, so between the Coachella Valley, between LA and San Diego, essentially.
Cool.
And so I just like everything changed for me like at that point, and then I went back.
Why did you move there? Like, why did your
mom? My mom got an internship.
Oh.
She graduated with her master's from like Greeley, so I was like in Colorado Springs for 5 years. Like, I was in Greeley for 2 years and Sterling for a year. And so, like, to your question, right, like, when did I really figure out, like, it was never a question for me that I was different, you know? Like, I mean, I was this black cowboy, right? And I was the only one of those, for sure, right. You know, outside of, like, my sister and maybe, you know, here and there, like, sparseness. But, I mean, I always recognized myself as different than, you know, what I was in. But I tried to fit, like, the value system. I tried to... You know, I mean, I wanted my mom to be proud of me, and mm-hmm. you know, I love riding horses. Actually, that part's pretty cool. So, yeah, so that's like kind of where I came from, and then I met California, and I went on, and then at 13, I remember going and saying, you know what, Mom, I'm not gonna wear brush poppers and Wranglers anymore around your family. Like, I'm gonna be who I am, and that was the day my grandmother didn't even she wouldn't even give me a hug. Like, she didn't want to recognize me because I was, like, in hip-hop clothing, you know, and it was, like...
Hip-hop clothing, describe what that means to you. Like, what were you wearing specifically type?
I mean, like, baggy pants, like, a, you know, longer shirt, colors that were there, and, you know. Anyway, so I was wearing a lot of red, I think, at that point, I didn't want to hide anymore. No, she didn't. She just wouldn't like recognize me publicly.
So there's no dialogue about it at all on that side of the family as far as like rejecting
dialogue, but just pure rejection.
Like, they watch my Facebook now they watch my Facebook and they stop following me. You know what I mean?
But they didn't unfriend you?
No, okay. They're still my friends.
Right, yeah. They just don't follow you. Yeah, they just don't want they want to be able to check up on you from a distance, but they don't want to see your posts.
There it is.
So they unfollowed you,
There it is.
Wow. So, okay, but I have a question. I feel like you might have some too, mm-hmm. but because you said you don't want to hide, like, or you want to be who you are at that point, right?
Yeah.
So did you have a moment of realization while you were like, let's say, because I'm trying to think, you came from, you know, basically a cowboy, like you were basically a cowboy, right?
That was
how you identified. And that didn't you feel like that's who you were for that time?
All parts of me I still embrace as parts of me and understandings that I have. So there's nothing, like I said, like I don't hide any parts of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I just, I more identify with my black side, the history, the way that I think, the more collective, you know, mind frame and set. There's a history that, even though it's been a very difficult history, it's one that I can embrace with more pride than I can like a European history.
Yeah. Do you feel like learning about history in itself, especially within the United States, like in that context, and learning about slavery, does it almost want to disassociate?
I don't disassociate because there's like, you know, there's a gift in, you know, in all people, right? Like, so there's not like, I'm not rejective of like that side. I just have chosen to understand it, understand the mentalities, and be able to utilize that understanding as a gift to the people that I identify with.
That understanding. You feel like, what understandings are those? Navigating that world?
I understand how white people think.
Yeah, okay.
Period. I mean, I don't know.
Bam. Either way. That is no. Yeah. I think that's really valuable because I think that is a gift that like mixed people. Like, for example, my friends ask me questions all the time. I actually feel the majority of my friends I feel like are either black or they are Latina or Latino or whatever. you know, I have some male Latino friends, I guess. But no, I guess when I think about it, I feel like that's the majority of my friends, but they always ask me these questions around like Chinese culture or like Asian culture. They, yeah. You know, and I'm always like, oh yeah, like I don't, I almost take it for granted that I know this whole other hierarchy of like Asian colorism and all these other inner understandings that I think that I have that because I grew up with my Chinese mom and I've heard these conversations among her family. And so I carry that with me. But so I think that when I hear that, I'm like, damn, that's really interesting because it is like, in a way, it's like another piece of information that maybe people on your, in your black side or black in, no, African born in America. I want to label it how you label it. Okay.
That's what's up.
Other family that are African born in America, like, they may not have access to that understanding or really not understand it. So
they don't.
I think the example, oh, go ahead.
No, that's, I mean, I just, yeah, they don't. And, you know, and there's like certain things like, you know, that I don't, like, I also understand, like, I do have still some privilege from that as well. Right. Like I, you know, I got to see, you know, doctors and lawyers and professors and, you know, I mean, that is
that world,
like that's privilege in itself, right?
Right.
Like I know how to talk a certain kind of a way. I don't, you know, like I don't have the same types of interactions with, you know, with police unless like I was like trying to, because I know how to say, you know, like I understand that culture and like things that I might say, you know, so like there's different things that I, you know, access like of,
but
of,
not the cabin
of understanding. No, yeah, I don't. Cabin. I don't have access to the to, you know, to some of those familial things. It's more so, it's more so an understanding of like what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand that, you know, that there's more to life than like our hood,
mm-hmm.
or you know, like our city or, yeah. you know, whatever that looks like. I mean, right. I know what it is to like be able to travel to, right. you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm really interested in your experience when you, like when you first got to California. And, yeah. Coming from, you know, kind of a white world, right?
Yeah.
Going to California. Yeah.
California is close to Paul's heart.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's where he did in his first missions when he okay. was a Mormon missionary.
Oh, it was wow. like my first experience like for wow. an extended time outside of Utah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would visit my dad's family. My dad's from Alabama. I would go down south with him wow. in the summers.
Yeah.
Quite a few summers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be the only time I'd really be around black folks.
Yeah.
You know?
I love the south, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Like, it's,
yeah.
anyways. But yeah. Like, around my family, I remember initially going there, I felt so uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And when I went to L.A., initially, you know, for the first couple of weeks or so, I was, like, really uncomfortable. But then yeah. all of a sudden, something clicked, and it was like, man, I feel like nobody's looking at me weird. Like,
yeah.
you know, like, I don't yeah. like. I'm not
I finally
sticking
fit
out.
In. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested. What was that first experience like? If you yeah. have a story,
the first experience was scary. Like, honestly, I, you know, because I showed up to school, you know, my first day, and like all I had ever known really is like, you know, I mean, obviously, I came out here to Denver, and I visited my father's family and my pops as well. So. You know, like I had, like I definitely knew the whole time growing up, like at Skyland, I was in Skyland all the time and that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like my first experience when I went to California, but, you know, I was still young enough and like my clothes were like what my clothes were, right? Yeah. And
so you went in there wearing chaps and like
it wasn't quite Wranglers. That bad, but I definitely had on Wranglers and like I can't even remember the shirt at this point. But, you know, I just remember, like, cats looking at me like, yeah. what the fuck is wrong with this kid?
like
mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And, like, looked, and this is, you know, I mean, I'm in fourth grade at this point. And so, you know, but, like, there was still this, you know, like, this real kind of look. And then in community, you know, after school, you know, I had, you know, as I started kind of making friends and, you know, or at least interacting with people, I guess I should say, more so than like, you know, making friends, there was an easier connection to other mixed people, right? And so I didn't necessarily know, and so my friend groups were mostly mixed people initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until I really got to like understand like what, you know, and feel kind of that click that you were talking
but
about.
But you didn't know they were mixed? Like, later on you realized, like...
No, I did. They were just lighter. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't, like, a conscious, like, I don't think, right? Like, I'm going to go find mixed people to hang out
right,
with,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, but I... And I just remember, like, in communities, I mean, some of the, like, the older, you know, the older kids, they were, like, brothers or cousins or whatever. You know, that's where I started, like, in understanding of the streets, right? And, you know, and they basically just kind of put their arm around me. It was like, look, bro, you gonna get, excuse my language, I don't know if I can say this.
You can say whatever,
like,
you want.
You gonna get fucked up out here, like, mm-hmm. like this, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that was, they weren't trying to recruit me into a gang necessarily, right? But it was, yeah, it was really just that experience of like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, okay, I can't be, you know, like, I can't fit from where I came from into this place. And so I have to re-identify myself and what is that identity going to be, mm-hmm. right? And you know, as an athlete and kind of always on the fence of the streets.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So you have people basically trying to teach you almost like the code of like how to not basically stand out so much to look...
How not is to that, get fucked up. Like, yeah. I mean, straight up. Like, straight up. That's what it was.
They saw you. They're like, man, this dude is not from here.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, but what was it? Was it like your friendly you. Mannerism? Like, what was it? Like, was it like you were too open? Because I hear that a lot. Like, people that are in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I went with my cousin to Philly yeah. recently. And I was like, homie, you got to like not try to say hi to everyone. Like, because I felt like he made me stand out. I was like, I know how to blend in right now. You don't know how to blend in. Yeah.
I don't know if I had that level of consciousness in fourth grade. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like
yeah.
I can't like remember back to like what level of consciousness I had.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember like it being because, you know, then it takes it really back to those books, right? So like my entire understanding of what it meant to be a black man was to be revolutionary, was to study, was to, you know, like stand up and fight for our people. There was like, you know, that's what it meant to me to be a black man. And then you get to Southern California, right? And you see pants hanging off his asses and colors and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, a certain kind of demeanor, especially coming out of California. And that is at that point, like what it, like it confused me because I'm like, wait, this is not what it's supposed to be, right? And mm-hmm. I was always kind of in a protected or familial space when I was here in Denver with black people growing up. And so, you know, I didn't get like the street version, I guess, right? Like before I got to California. And that's when I was like, ah, this is different.
Wow.
Hmm.
So you moved to California for a period of time in your life. And when did you move back to Denver?
I didn't move back to Denver right away. I actually, once my sister graduated, she graduated high school out there, and I was at the very end of my seventh grade. No, so I started eighth grade, and my mom, because at that point, like, I had gotten deeper, like, you know, there was definitely, like, an influence of the streets that was in my life. I played basketball and football, which was kind of like my saving grace. And, you know, and they also kind of recognized that, like, I wasn't built for that life, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know any other way to say it. They were like, nah, bro. I mean, we got you, but nah, man. Like, it's not, nah. So just stay on the fields,
little,
right?
You still got that little cowboy in
you. Yeah. Just stay on the fields, man. And, you know, but I excelled as an athlete for sure. And so, you know, that was that. And then, so then I go, and my mom tried to move me because she's always loved the country. Like, she hated being in the city like that and all of that kind of stuff. We couldn't keep horses there. So once my sister graduated, she tried to move me back into the country, right? So we moved to, like, Moriarty, New Mexico, which is outside
oh, wow.
of Albuquerque and not too far away from my my grandparents' ranch. And, you know, and I remember the first day, like, there, that was also interesting, right? Because it was, like, almost, like, reverse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I showed
culture
up.
Culture shock
like,
number
I,
one.
I show, yeah,
culture
yeah, yeah,
shock
yeah.
number two. Re-immersion culture shock,
yeah,
which is real.
How did you view the country differently coming from the city this time?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be there for mm-hmm. even a little bit, right? And so, mm-hmm. like, I viewed it as, like, I'll be able to come in here and take this shit over straight up, mm-hmm. you know? And that's what I did, honestly.
Take what over?
like the city, the town. The town. It wasn't a city, it was a town. You know? Right. So like I remember just sitting on the they had like the concrete tables, you know what I'm saying, outside. Mm-hmm. And I had on green cross color shorts and like a yellow tourniquet, like, you know, like cross color tourniquet. And then like under that, like a lime green. So this was all lime green, the shorts or whatever. And four lines in my eyebrows and, you know, like my hair cut in a certain kind of a way. And people like just looking at me, like they came by and it was almost like I was in the zoo or something. And they're like, who is this? What is this about? You know, and then I saw kids that like really like the wannabe kind of culture or whatever. And they like start, what's up, bro? What's your name? And, you know, and they just really wanted to be down with me. And they knew, I mean, it's like they knew I was from California almost before I got there, I guess. And
you stood out.
So you were cool.
I for sure stood out.
You were so cool, right? Like, yeah. like the white kids wanted to.
Yeah, like,
was it white kids only, or was it kind of?
No, I mean, my best friend was black as well. We kind of ran a whole bunch of stuff. There was a few, like, I mean, it's, I don't know, maybe 20%, 30% Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe 2-3%. Black.
Right. Okay.
And then so it was mostly Caucasian out there. So I mean, it didn't last very long. I mean, being out there, eighth grade, freshman year, and then like I got myself kicked out my sophomore year, and I moved out to
Denver. Took over.
Yeah. I was trying to like run this shit for real. I don't know if I want
to
like.
Okay, you,
know,
you don't
like
have
that,
to disclose.
But like I you know, I. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So I recently
had a conversation with my brother about this, about being young, black, and cool, being like being in a white community, majority white community, and being young and black, having afro, whatever.
No doubt.
And just kids thinking you're just like really cool.
Right.
But that coolness like is only to a certain extent, right? Like it only lasts for so long, and then you become an adult.
For sure.
It's like all of a sudden not cool to be black. It's like
for
you're out.
For sure.
You know, and when you exist in a white community.
Yeah. Even then, like, so the governor of New Mexico was Bruce King at the time. And so I ended up dating, you know, who was also on the basketball team, like his granddaughter, right? Ooh. And and so I remember going up, like I was in an honors English or like history or whatever it was. Anyways, we got to go up to like the state capitol, and we met him. And, you know, he's going around the table and he's like, so, you know, I know that you all know my granddaughter, you know, Emily King, and this and this and this. And then he comes around to me and he puts his hands on my shoulders and he says, and some of you know her better than others. Right?
Oh, snap.
And a week and a half later, like, after that trip, you know, she
that
comes
was
to
a
me.
Tough handshake,
and, yeah, for real. Like, she came out to me in tears, like broken. And she was like, my family has basically told me if I continue to date you, like, I mean, as we were like getting serious at that point, that like they're cutting us off, or they would cut me off. And I was like, whoa, that was the first time that happened to me. That happened to me several
Interesting.
Times. Yeah. So
that would be maybe like that experience where you're like super
so
cool.
I think that's where it clicked.
Until it,
you know,
like,
what I mean? That's where it clicked to like, oh wow, like this is super different. Like, even though I could relate, like in, you know, like I said, I mean, my grandparents owned 110,000 acres, you know, like 50 miles from there, you know what I mean? But that was not enough of a pass to be ever accepted as white. And I think that was like that point where I'm like, I'm a black man.
There's a lot of conversations around, like, you know, there's families that are like, I'm not racist. I would say even in different workspaces I've been in, that it has that vibe. Like, no one wants to be called racist, right? Or there's certain people. There's some people that don't mind it. But
especially now.
Right, they're like, yeah, call me racist. I'm a racist. But, okay. But I would say, like, in my current people that I'm around, right, there's, like, a perspective of not wanting to be called racist because they want to be seen as accepting to all. But then I think I was in a class in school, and the question arise, so would you be okay are your parents okay if you were to go home, take a black man home? It was like, it was an ethnic studies class, right? So we're delving into race dynamics and stuff like that. And I think it really made me, like, it is that question
of,
like, okay,
I'm cool. Did you ever try that, by the way?
To do what?
Bring a black man home?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, how did it go?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I mean, I have. I think actually, like, most of my male... Okay, I have many stories around that, but that pretty much, it kind of hit or miss. Like, it kind of depends on, like, who,
like,
they
the
are,
person, the
what they
themselves.
About.
Okay.
Are they actually, like, sociable,
yeah.
Right? Like, my son's father was, like, very, like... I don't know. He put on a good show. So my mom was kind of like confused. Like, she was like, wow, he talks a lot. Like, he's a talker. And so it depends on, like, the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I can say that, my stepdad, who is no longer with us, he passed away a few years ago. I would say, I was actually just talking about this a little bit, because I would say that he was more on the racist end of things. He's a white male. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of my first boyfriends, like, he met him at the door, stared deep into his eyes, and shook his hand, kind of like maybe that experience with, like, the governor,
yeah,
of New Mexico on your shoulders.
Yeah.
It was like that type of moment for my stepdad towards him. And I remember I was just like, what the fuck? That felt so uncomfortable. So I have many stories that
are
on and off, but in my ethnic studies class, that question came up. More so asking other students, and a lot of young women, like white girls even, were saying, like, oh, I don't know if my dad would be okay with that, right? So it's almost like this on the surface level of, like, no, I'm not racist. Like, I get along with all people. I love all people, until it crosses that line of intimacy where it's like,
absolutely,
but if it were my daughter or
right,
whatever.
Right. And that's like the true test.
Yeah.
Know?
That's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. It's always like, it's always made me mad. Like, I'll be honest with you. Like, when I see, like, someone, like, black, dating someone white, which is really weird because that's exactly where I came from, mm-hmm, right?
You being black. And wait, it's weird when you see someone black?
We gotta unpack that for sure.
Yeah.
So what type of feelings do you get? And then where do you think that comes from?
You know, like, I don't know if it's because of, like, the confusion that I grew up in, mm-hmm, right? Like, I'm comfortable, you know, now. And, like, there was a certain point, I don't know, maybe around 28, where I was like, okay, this is who I am. And, like, and I just kind of established, like, who I am is just who I am. But, like, almost never having, like, a place, right? And so I think that maybe it, like, started coming from there. And then, like, understanding there's this book called Homegoing. And one of the stories or the depictions in it is like of a white man coming into the where they had the slaves waiting in on the docks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had been there for months, like waiting for the ship, and they said, and I mean, covered, and like there's all kinds of this, you know, just horridness that's there. And the white man comes in, like, and he's smiling, right? And so the woman in the story and that piece of it was like, oh, a nice one, right? And so she, like, mm-hmm, kind of gravitated to that smile, right? And he takes her, and so he takes her out to rape her, right? And it's like that.
Oh, damn.
And then puts her right back in, right? And it's like those kinds of, like, I guess, like you know, like coming into like the hen house and like what is in, so like I really landed though it you know it at some point of saying, well, I don't think that there's anything wrong with falling in love with whoever you fall in love with. I don't think that it should be like this race thing or, you know, anything else. Like it needs to be, if you fall in love with somebody, it's cool, right? And this is me today, right? But what really upsets me is when it's because, you know, somebody is mad at, you know, their own, right? Their own.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, yeah, well, I'm not going to because they're all crazy or,
yeah, black,
you know, this,
black man,
yeah,
shit.
Black
men
have, like, treated me so wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, like,
right,
that means that you haven't put the effort forward to in whatever way. And I'm not, I know that's like a sensitive,
I'm like,
that's,
well,
sensitive subject. But,
I'm like, yeah, we can dig into this, but I have a few opinions myself, but, you know, let's keep it moving.
That's the thing for me is like, if it's because you truly fell in love with someone, cool.
But not because you're rejecting a whole group, because you basically group them into this category.
Right.
Yeah. Right. As man, it's, yeah, that's, we're down, we're totally going to have more conversations about that, especially when we get mixed couples in here.
Yeah. Around just like dating, interracial dating. It's, and
it's wild. Yeah. So it's like, because just recently have I like had experiences dating white women, right?
Yeah.
Before it was like out of the question. Like I never considered it, even though my mom is white, you know?
Right.
And I feel like within myself, it took time to actually like understand my own identity to then be okay with doing that, you know?
Right.
But before it was like, I felt like I was like betraying something. Question. Like you know, there's so many beautiful black women that are available that, you know,
truly.
And it's like, and I would feel bad about doing it. But now it's like, there's a, I've evolved. Yeah. And, but I think it's
evolved.
Just.
Evolved. That's an interesting word choice.
It is.
Yeah.
Some people would be like, you're unevolved. But no, I think I just carry, like, I have a lot of conversations. And a conversation, especially in Colorado, that comes up for me and friends, like black women friends specifically, is usually like they're very anti all these black men with all these white women. Like, mm-hmm. that is a big conversation that they're,
it's a big one.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah. But I just had to throw in the other another perspective, because I do think we're going to.
I just couldn't do it. I couldn't personally do it. Like, you have to be of color for me to like date you now. Like, when I was younger, it didn't matter. Like, and I had, like, we had a whole saying around it that I won't repeat on the podcast, but yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so now you will not date white women?
Oh, no.
At all?
No.
What if?
Doesn't matter. They're not going to be a what if. Like, I won't entertain it, like, to even start, like, that process. I just can't do it. I don't know.
That's okay. That's your personal choice. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I'm not a white woman. I don't feel offended. I'm like, you know, well, I mean, just give us a chance. I'm not.
Like, but like, how do you, like, I don't know. For me, like, sometimes I'm like, well, am I racist? Right?
Like, well, because you just said, like, that it sounds like you had a bitter experience. This is where I go.
A few of them. You know what I mean? Like,
okay, what are those experiences that have made you?
They were like, so two times I've had three different like girlfriends. One time it was like going to a prom. Like, I got invited my sophomore year to a prom, and I was actually best friends with like this girl's brother. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to take me everywhere around in his little Porsche and this and that and the other thing. Like,
nice.
I shouldn't say best friends, but we were good friends. And, and so like she, you know, we were around each other and she was like, I want to go to prom with you. Right.
Right.
And then turned around, her parents were like, I promise you, if you get into a prom picture with that, that'll be an issue.
And
what
did they say that, you don't have to say it if you don't want to.
No, it's always just been like them coming to me and being like, look,
that,
like, it's the only reason that we're here is like because my parents have now seen me like really start to feel you like in one way or another, and they will not accept that, you know what I mean? So
wow.
And then I mean my grandmother, that whole thing, you know, kind of, you know, dating back to that, and it just
your grandmother not even hugging you anymore,
like in that moment. And so anyways, it just like, it's like there's too many dynamics like where I might invest with someone to a certain point, and then, you know, just to find out that either they need to lose their privilege in order to be with me, mm-hmm. or, you know, otherwise. So I'm like, I just don't want to entertain it. You know, and at the same time, like, there is that, you know, piece in the back of my mind of, like, culturally and, like, what has happened through, you know, time. Like, I don't want to be attached to that. And if I'm getting married, like, there's the assumption, like, children, mm-hmm. and, you know, this, that, the other thing. And, like, and I just don't, you know, it's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. And beyond just, like, their family reaction, it's even the questions that I always have is, like, the conversations, personal conversations that we're going to have when something happens, or if I just am thinking something and I need to explain what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I have no confidence that the white woman is going to understand how I feel.
And not only that, but like, you know, going into certain situations, like I am considered and I don't know that I don't like to say this, but like a community leader in a way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm in front of a lot of things, and I've, you know, and I've put a lot of focus around Africans born in America in terms of economics and in terms of like community building and those kinds of things. And like, what would I look like, right? Like walking in. And I have this wonderful white wife, right? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's just I feel that. It's just not.
I'm not trying
like
to say
you
need
are.
To. I'm just. It's interesting though, because so I think there's a level of what I hear is there are these pieces of experiences that you know that you have not. There's been almost like rejection and basically people.
Do rejection good.
Oh dang, yeah. I don't know if anyone, I would like to meet some people that do rejection good. I don't know if anyone does. I don't think it's not a fun feeling. You feel belittled, and this is, and even I think that rejection is one thing, like personality, like nah, just don't vibe like with you, versus rejection because of literally the fact that you're just your race, right? Like that feels very different. You're like, we get along so well.
Right.
And just simply because my skin color and like my, you know, like my background, that's actually really, we know like that's a part of why your family's not accepting me. Okay. And so like, I think there's another level there. Yeah, maybe we'll dig into that a little more because I think that's super real in a lot of ways.
Sorry if I can jump in, but how did your experiences fuel your activism today? Here in Denver.
Good question.
And tell us more about your activism and what you're involved in.
Or however you label it. You said that you are a community leader. Or
I mean, like I'm considered
people
that,
consider
like,
that
in some ways.
Okay.
You know, I own a company called Diversity Dynamics. And we like really specialize in equity development and engagement with a very specific focus in like building systems and infrastructure necessary to be able to promise economic mobility, right? So it's not like the product is like in development, and so I do facilitation as my trade, and so I'm in front of a lot of groups of people like being kind of a voice of like how to move them to coming up with the answers for themselves, right? And the community building from a place, and like I said, I mean, especially when it comes to economics, because I just believe that that's at the core and the root of, you know, in so many ways, like all the other pieces. Like if we get our economics together, right, like now we can change, you know, we can afford to have our own educational system, right? We can afford our own health systems. We can do things differently. Our future orientation is different. So, you know, our safety is in a different place. People have to respect you more when your economics are in order. You know, so like the police, you know, brutality stuff, I think changes in different ways. And so, you know, to me, economics is at the core and the crux. And I think, I mean, that's when like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King got shot, right? It's like when they started, you know, really going in beyond just the race construct or the social construct around race and started getting
but
into
economic,
the economics, right?
Yeah,
like
focus.
That's when it happened.
It turned up like, hold up. I mean, we can let you sit at the countertops because that's going to get us more money. Yeah. But hold on. If you actually really
want
to like get
some equality
money
in
here? Yeah, you want success like financially. I don't know if we could do that because our whole system is based on slavery. But
yeah. Period. You know, and now we have the new slavery and the prisons and this, that, the other thing. So, I mean, I speak on, those pieces, and I find myself in a lot of, because like my gift, I guess, is putting things together, right? So like I can see from like 30,000 feet, and I have relationships at, you know, 0 feet and, you know, 10 feet and 100 feet and 1,000 feet, right? And 20,000. So, you know, I'm able to kind of put those parts together is kind of like the gift that I have. And so I do that, you know, in a lot of different spaces. And so that's kind of like what, you know, what I do and like why, like how does it show up in that space? And I know just, you know, based on the time right now, like I guess I just want to like wrap and say that like because I want to come back, actually. I don't know if that's like possible.
Definitely.
But, you know, like,
I mean,
at some
you're
point,
an
like,
okay
like really
guest.
Getting...
No, I'm just saying. Of
I feel
course.
Like we're just breaking the surface.
You know,
like,
I know.
Yeah,
there's
like,
so much more.
Yeah, I think that like there's a lot that can get there. But, you know, I guess for me, like there's a, you know, like if we're doing work just to be in work, right? I don't know if that's necessarily living. You know what I mean? Like, I want there to be an end at some point, right? Like, and even in my personal work, like, what can I contribute to as a Black man, right? Like, or as I identify, you know, what do I contribute to this community? Like, what is my legacy, you know, going to be, whether, you know, it, whatever scale it grows to, you know, and I'm contributing that to a particular community, which, you know, I have then identified with, right? And at the same time, like I would hope that there is a point when like there can become an identity of people being mixed, right? Like that becomes an identity in itself, and we don't have to necessarily choose in some way.
I'm like that is,
you know, and we don't have to choose like this side, that side, but there's like a foundation in some kind of way, because there's no foundation, you know, there's no National Association for the Advancement of Mixed People.
Well, right? Not yet.
And I love that. I love the thoughts.
Its way.
I think you're an amazing, your story is an amazing example, because we have a lot of similarities in our stories, but we identify it differently.
Yeah.
And view things differently, right?
Because it's okay. Paul, like he said, like Paul identifies as a mixed, like a Black male that's mixed. Yeah, like he includes that.
I like that. Yeah. I mean, I like it. And I've just never even like...
Heard that?
Thought of it, heard it, considered it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't before until recently. I mean, and it will continue to evolve, I believe. I mean, we all do. But like with the guests that we've had so far and even been speaking with each other, like, yeah, we don't have to check one box, you know.
Right.
We have, as human beings, as people who are mixed, we have the right to make that decision on who are, like how we view ourselves, and because the world will always try to put us in a box, man.
No doubt. And I don't believe in boxes.
Yeah. You gotta break them apart, man.
No doubt.
Break them down.
No doubt.
That's what this is all about. So. Can't wait to speak to you again.
It makes me think of before, as we are wrapping up, there is, have you heard of the Mixed Bill of Rights? Have you heard or seen that?
No.
So please, I will it. Yeah, I'll send it through office. And I'll also we'll
can
put
I get
it
a frame copy.
I mean, we're getting real specific. He's like, can it be this dimension? Can it be a Black with gold frame?
Can
I'm like,
write it? Do you mind?
We're selling them for $25 on our website.
Actually, we will be.
There it goes.
That's our signature.
One of those pieces. That's one of those pieces, right? Like the understanding of being mixed. Like, I'm sorry, just because you said it. Like,
go
we're
ahead.
Gonna be selling it for $25 on our website. Like that is such a, like from a cultural understanding. Like no doubt, no, I know, but and there's so often that like people of color, like we are actually like the most giving people like on the planet, right? And it's like it's hard sometimes to like say, but like that kind of that transactional. Well, and yeah, we're not gonna just, you know, like this is our product. This is what we're building.
We gotta,
this is
gotta we're support growing. Each other. You know?
No doubt, no doubt. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Well. I will give you a free copy, but you know, but when we put it up and we have it framed in black and or red, which are our colors.
Dope. Yeah. Then I'm going to buy that copy.
Right. But for now, let's stay connected. Follow us on Instagram at MixedGen, MixedGen, or go to our website at MixedGen.com. Thank you for listening. This has been a Mixed Gen.